translation. The sacred lakes like Pushkar and places where saintly persons live, like Kurukshetra, Gaya, Prayag, Pulahashram, Naimisharanya, the banks of the Falgu River, Setabandhu, Prabhash, Dwarka, Varanasi, Mathura, Pampa, Bindu Sarovara, Badrikashram, Naimisharanya, the places where the Nanda River flows, the places where Lord Ramachandra and Mother Sita took shelter, such as Chitrakoot, and also the hilly tract of land known as Mahendra and Malaya. All of these are to be considered most pious and sacred. Similarly, places outside India, where there are centres of the Krishna conscious movement, and where Radha and Krishna deities are worshipped, must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results of 1,000 times better than results of the same activities performed in any other place. In response, please. The sacred lakes like Pushkar and places where saintly persons live, like Kurukshetra, Gaya, Prayag, Pulaha Ashram, Naimisharanya, the banks of the Falgu River, Setubandha, Prabhash, Dwarka, Varanasi, Mathura, Pampa, Bindur Sarovara, Badrikashram, Naimisharanya, the places where the Nanda River flows, the places where Lord Ramachandra and Mother Sita took shelter, such as Chitrakoot, and also the hilly tract of land known as Mahendra and Malaya. All these are to be considered most pious and sacred. Similarly, places outside India, where there are centres of Krishna consciousness, and where Radha Krishna deities are worshipped, must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. One who intends to advance in spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results of 1,000 times better than the results of the same activity performed in any other place. I'll repeat that. To get results 1,000 times better than the results of the same activity performed in any other place. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In these verses, and in verse 29, stress is given to one point, Harer Archaratas Chaye, or Harer Archa. In other words, any place where the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by devotees is most significant. The Krishna conscious movement is giving the population of the entire world a chance to take advantage of Krishna consciousness through the ISKCON centres, where one may perform deity worship and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and in this way obtain results with effectiveness increased 1,000 times. This constitutes the best welfare activity for human society. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, as it was predicted by him in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchilila 4.126. Prithiviti achiyata nagaradi gram, savachapachara haibe maranam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Hare Krishna movement with installed deities to spread to every village and town in the world, so that everyone in the world might take advantage of this movement and become all auspicious in spiritual life. Without spiritual life, nothing is auspicious. Mogasa moga karmano moga jnana vichetasaha. 9.12 Bhagavad Gita. No one can become successful in fruitive activities or speculative knowledge without being Krishna conscious. As recommended in the Shastras, everyone should be very eagerly interested in taking part in the Krishna conscious movement and understanding the value of spiritual life. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpata Rubiyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasli Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is more or less the same as the verse before it, a slight difference. But it's speaking about places. First verse was speaking about holy places of pilgrimage, and Prabhupada explained that a place can only be a holy... Well, generally, a holy place of pilgrimage is usually where there's a deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and where there's a temple or where there's sacred rivers. So, in the Shastra it says that some people may go there thinking that it's just a body of water at a distant place and where one can get beautified by bathing. So, Prabhupada... Well, the Shastra is not Prabhupada. Prabhupada also elaborates on it, but he says this is just like no better mentality than an ass or a cow, that we don't really fully understand the benefit of that place. So yesterday we were speaking about how those places, that's, you know, it tends to be a Kanista Adhikari mentality, that we go to the temple for our own benefit and the deity is our order supplier. But it says when there's devotees there, then it changes, because then there has to be reciprocation between the devotees also. So in that particular situation, we can advance to the platform of Majjhima Adhikari by learning how to associate and deal with devotees. So Prabhupada emphasized that devotional service should be practiced in the association of devotees. And by that association, one advances. How does one advance? Just by being in that association. Even by touching devotees, Ambarish Maharaj, he attained perfection by the association of devotees. He said just by embraces or touching the bodies of devotees, we get so much benefit. But really, we were speaking that it's by hearing in that association from the right source and the right message, then one's propensity to enjoying this world is purified. And it's specifically this chapter is referring to household life, because 90% of the not 90%, but a large majority of the population are in that ashram. Very few renunciants, very few sannyasis, vanaprasas, or brahmacharis in the United Kingdom. Very few in India, probably as well, real ones. So society, so this Bhagavad Gita is speaking to society in general, that if we want to make our living situation comfortable in this world, both materially and spiritually, then we have to take shelter of the holy places. And we were speaking about preaching. This is an extension of that verse. It's also talking about these places are not meant just for our benefit, but for the benefit of everybody. So we mentioned five things a grihasi should do last time. Anybody remember what they were? No, probably not. So it's giving charity. Giving prasad, it says. Any others? Offering prasad to the forefathers. Distributing prasad to the general public and to all living entities. Also offering prasad to oneself. Receiving Vaishnavas and saintly persons. And worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So actually, I was thinking that all these things are included when we preach, aren't they? When you think about it, you know, we're giving, what kind of prasad are we giving? We may not have, you know, eatable prasad in our bag, but we're giving out prasad in the form of books. We're giving out, so when it says in the Shastras, by doing that, that person becomes benefited even by touching the book. And then how else is prasad being in these five ways? The forefathers, it says that, well, there's different references, it depends on one's advancement, but seven generations, 14 generations, and 21 generations are mentioned. Past, present, and future are all liberated if one becomes a devotee, a pure devotee. So we're automatically doing that. And then what's the next one? Distributing, eating prasad. We have to also absorb ourselves in these literatures. Prabhupada said that once the German devotees came to one of my Prabhupada's last visits to Bhaktivedanta Manor, this was like the European headquarters, and they came from France, Germany, Netherlands, sometimes from Scandinavia to see Prabhupada. It was the only opportunity usually. He went to Germany once or twice, to Italy once, to France a few times, but not anywhere else. So they came for this visit, and they all came into the room, paid their obeisances, and Prabhupada, they were doing well. They were giving out a lot of prasad, a lot of books. And so they knew this. And Prabhupada can see into their heart. And also by the physiognomy, he could see there was some pride there. They came a little late and they paid their obeisances. And they got up and said, "So, what is the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita?" And they were giving, and he said, "No, you're all wrong." And he told them what the first instruction was. He says, "You're distributing so many books, but you're not reading them." We have to do both. So reading, what to speak of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead by deity worship, and receiving Vaishnavas in our home. We're receiving so many. When we go out and preach, there's so many Vaishnavas out there. They're just waiting to get a book, waiting to get some prasad. That's the best way to serve prasad. Sometimes we have these house programs. We have them a lot, actually. And everybody's thinking, "Let me invite the devotees to the house and fill them up with prasadam, and then I get all the punya." And like that. But actually, that's a very second-handed understanding. There's many Vaishnavas we can engage in devotional service by preaching this message of Krishna consciousness. So that's one point. It's so that, yeah, by preaching, we're fulfilling all the duties of a grihastha's ashram. It's not exempt. Auspicious life, it mentions in this. The beginning of all auspicious life starts with practicing Krishna consciousness. This is mentioned in the Shastras that in the very beginning of devotional service, we have to instill somebody with some faith. Somebody may have a little faith to start with, but many people may not. But by the devotee's association, one can gain a little bit of faith, this priceless treasure. And then from that little bit of faith, one may be tempted to associate with devotees. And from that association, one's devotional service really starts. One can start to practice Pajina Kriya. And then eventually take shelter, take initiation. And so it says that there are two leaves on the tree of bhakti which start to unfold at this point. One is, anybody know what they are? Two leaves. One's got a rough edge and one's got a shiny edge. Well, there's two. No, there's Klesha Agni. Klesha means disturbance. Agni means the fire of material, burning in the fire of material existence. So we start to get relief from all material difficulties. Pure devotional service immediately gives relief. And what's the other leaf? It's Subhada. It means that we get, it's all auspicious, beginning of all auspiciousness. So this is what this verse is explaining, that all the activities of a conditioned soul are inauspicious. Mogasya, mogakamana, mogajana, vichetasaha. But then by the association of a devotee, they become auspicious. One is relieving oneself and the conditioned soul from the burning fire of material existence. One is being all auspicious for oneself and for others. So, as Maharaj was saying yesterday in the Ishta Gosri, we have to first of all consolidate the movement. We have to become strong ourselves. And in this way we can actually maintain and then grow. Is that right? By culture, spiritual culture. Everything we do is spiritual culture. But if we see Prabhupada's mood also, is that it's not like there's a gap between the two, between consolidating and giving. As I gave the example yesterday of little Sarasvati, she preached about a little doll of Krishna to somebody. And Prabhupada saying, whatever we have, we should give. So it's not like we work and we boil them, keep boiling the milk. We boil the milk, and then we boil the milk, and we boil the milk. Because what happens if we boil the milk too much? We have to add a bit more milk, don't we? And then it thins it out. It burns the milk. So, as well as boiling the milk, we have to also distribute. That the two things should go on simultaneously. and then it's a healthy situation. So people are in the modes of nature, mode of ignorance, passion, generally. So what's the symptoms of the mode of ignorance? How can we see it in the conditioned soul? In the Madhuri Kadambini, it mentions five things which are related to ignorance. First one, avidya, ignorance. Ignorance itself. What happens in ignorance? What's the symptoms of the mode of ignorance? How do we see things? Hey? Laziness is there, but what I'm thinking about, how the vision of somebody in the mode of ignorance. What does he see? We can get an idea when we're in the material world, right? It's a reflection of the spiritual world. So when we're looking in a mirror, what do we see? We see me, don't we? But what's the difference between the mirror and us? It's exactly the same. But it's the wrong way around. And so in the mode of ignorance, everybody sees everything the wrong way around. Religious practices, people are practicing irreligious activities in the name of religion. People are seeing seeing things as being pious, what's impious. They're doing all the wrong things, mode of ignorance. Just like I was, anyway, we'll come back to that. Ashmita, this is the second symptom of the mode of ignorance. And this is a false ego. So what's the symptoms of false ego? I, me and mine. Everything that's centred around me and all activities centred around the body. So who's centering their activities around the body? Anybody? Or are we centering around the soul? Good question, isn't it? So we have to center the activities around the soul. Raga, attachment. We want to increase our happiness and we want to decrease our misery. Is that right? Does everybody agree with that? Increase the happiness, decrease the misery. But actually, Bhagavad Gita says that a devotee shouldn't try to become happy. It says we shouldn't try to enjoy this world, and what else? We shouldn't try to get out of it. We should just actually be neutral. We shouldn't search for happiness, and we shouldn't be afraid of happiness. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he preaches to his school friends. What's that verse? Sukham Endrikam Decha Deho Dehani Dehina Sarvacha Labite Daivat Tata Jante Yatnataha. Says that, my dear boys, the happiness perceived by contact with these senses, with the material objects, can be perceived in any form of life. Just as every form of life has experienced this, and it naturally comes. We don't have to work for it. So one should accept this without being disturbed. We don't have to search for happiness. It's going to come just along with misery. So ignorance means we over-endeavour. We go out to work and we have to put overtime in and so many things, and you know, we finish it, we haven't got time for our sadhana. So this is big ignorance. You know, this is not Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. What's Krishna's instruction? Krishna's instruction, if you follow my example, surrender unto me, then I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions and also maintain. What's that verse? Ananto chintyas ananyas chintyantam am yeganaha pariopes pasate tesham nitya vayuknam yogakshemam vahamyam. So just like that Brahman, we may be in doubt. He crossed that word out, that Vahamya, that Krishna will support us. But later, he was a poor Brahman. I think everybody knows this story. And he was thinking that I'm supporting myself. Everything's coming on, the money that's coming in. And are the alms that's coming in. So I have to make sure there's alms coming in. I have to work hard. And then spiritual life, we can perform spiritual life. So he crossed the name out, and his wife said, we don't have any vegetables for lunch. Can you see if you can beg some from the market? So he went to the market, and he had no luck. But while he's away, these two boys came, and they brought loads of vegetables and fruits. And then as they were turning to walk out, his wife saw all marks on the back of one of the boys. And he said, where did you get those whip marks from? He said, it was from your husband. He gave them as we saw him in the marketplace, and he whipped us. And then so we came here with the vegetables. And so when her husband came back, she was really angry with him. And he said, where did you get all these vegetables from? He said, our two boys came. He said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You were beating them. No, I haven't been beating anybody. And then he asked, what did these two boys look like? And he said, one was blue and one was white. And then he could understand all this produce had been brought by Krishna. He'd been marking the Vahamya out, and this was a significant of the marks on the boy's back. So this is a very interesting point. We've heard this story so many times. Well, how many times do we apply it? How many times can we depend on Krishna in that way? How many times do we depend on our own intelligence and not depend on Krishna? So this is the fourth part of ignorance. Then, dvesha, aversion to unhappiness and its causes. So similar, it's just the reverse side of raga. And then abhinivesha, instinctive desire for sense enjoyment and fear that death will take it away. Thinking this body is the reservoir of all sense enjoyment. So this is what we are. This is why we're preaching, to get rid of this ignorance in ourselves and also in general society. People are suffering so much. I think, did I mention it the other day? I did, actually. I mentioned about the old woman I saw on the plane. Did I? When I went to Croatia. We went on a brahmacharya retreat to Croatia. And as we were getting off the plane, I saw this woman. And she was just in front of me. And she got grey hair, scraggly hair. But she was dressed in really nice a young person's outfit, slacks, you know, and a coat. And I thought, you know, she got her back to me, and I knew that this wasn't her age, how she was dressed, but I didn't know how old she was. And she turned around, she must have been nearly 80. And actually, I felt really sorry for her. I thought, why is she doing that? Why does she feel a need to put these young clothes on? Because she's no knowledge. This is all she knows, that I'm this body. And when this body's finished, I'm finished, so I've got to enjoy it while I can. And so devotees shouldn't be in that mentality. It's not like that. By seeing that, we can feel that, you know, don't let me become like this. Let me actually help these people to understand. We feel like giving them knowledge. And so this is a devotee's life, is not to make the temple a comfortable place where, you know, we can enjoy the fruits of devotional service. That's there. But the result is that we should feel inspired to let me share this with others. So ignorance. So we can all, there's different ways of preaching. Lord Chaitanya reciprocates with his devotees in different ways. He reciprocates with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in one way. He preaches to him in one way. He gives him great credence for his position in understanding philosophical knowledge. But he respects, he gives respect. He preaches to Prakashananda Sarasvati, he also gives him respect. He preaches in an indirect way. He doesn't sort of just try to hammer them into the ground from the word go, you're Mayavadis, you're in Maya. You know, it's like this. No, he takes a humble role. So both things are there, respect for others, humility. And then when he preaches to Jagai and Madai, it's not really preaching. He shows, what is it? Lord Chaitanya was going to take both their heads off. But Nityananda Prabhu said, if we kill one, we'll have to kill them all. This is the nature of people in the Kali Yuga. And so we have to show great compassion also to society. So three things. And last thing is, he gave the example of preaching to students. And this was Mukunda. Mukunda used to go to all different mats and listen to their philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy, semi-Vaishnava philosophy, impersonalist philosophy, and he agreed wholeheartedly with everyone. But when Lord Chaitanya understood what was happening, he said, tell him I don't want to see his face around here anymore. And so when Mukunda was in the next room when they heard this, then they asked him, well, my Lord, when will you? Surely you'll see him sometime. Tell us a time when you will see Mukunda, when you will have your darshan. And he says, after 10,000 births. And Mukunda was dancing in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya immediately says, he started smiling, he says, bring Mukunda here. So how do we relate this to students' worship? That, you know, students have so many ideologies, so many philosophies. But we don't listen to those things. Prabhupada gave the example that Shyama Sunda, he started a little interaction with Prabhupada, how he'd bring a philosophy to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would immediately say, what about Socrates? And Prabhupada would say, what is his philosophy? And then he'd tell him what Socrates taught, and then he'd destroy that philosophy, or prove that philosophy, depending on what kind it was, from Vaishnava philosophy. So, in other words, a devotee doesn't try to get into everybody else's philosophy. We just get entangled. He uses Vaishnava philosophy and sees everything from that angle. Just like there was one Christian, when it was in the early days of ISKCON, I was reading Here Comes the Sun by Ranchar Prabhu, and when Prabhupada, I think it was his second visit to the United Kingdom, and at that time Ribhatinandan Swami was the sannyasi who was heading up the preaching, especially in London. And they went to this, he organised a hall for Prabhupada to preach at. And they were used to meeting Christians in the street, but one had creeped into the hall. And after the lecture, he made a comment about Prabhupada being talking about the divinity of the Supreme Personality of God, about his personal form. And this Krishna made a, I can't remember exactly the statement he made, but he was talking about, who are you to actually put a form on the Supreme Personality of God? And, you know, anyway, it was more or less inferring that, you know, we weren't so pure and we weren't in a fit situation to describe about the Supreme Lord. Only the Christians are able to do that. And Prabhupada didn't even bother to answer him. And he told Ray Bhattinandan, he said, you answer him. And he didn't know what to say, you know, he was thinking. So he started praying, he started offering pranams to Prabhupada, you know, in his mind. Then he opened his mind, opened his eyes, and suddenly he let loose with a whole volley of answers, and he completely shocked the Christian. He says, if I can remember rightly, that he says in the Christian scriptures, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy might. And he says, but what are you doing? He says, what to speak of loving your neighbour as yourself? You're killing animals, you're killing, and he completely... And he just crept out of the hall. And all the devotees were cheering. Prabhupada looked at Ribhattinandan and he smiled like anything. And then afterwards he was commenting on this point for a long time. Our Ribhattinandan Swami knows how to preach and protect this philosophy. So he didn't get into the preaching about Jesus Christ or anything. He just, you know, preached from the Vedic scriptures. But we may find that a little difficult to remember all these ways to preach to people. But there's one way everybody can preach. One way everybody can preach. How many people actually in this movement go out on Harinam Sankirtan? How many devotees are in the movement? Probably practicing devotees. Say if we've got 1,000 and we probably have about less than 100. Harinam Sankirtan, big preaching. And what's the other one? Book distribution. How many actually go out on book distribution now and again? So these are simple things everybody can do. When we chant our japa, we sometimes get some pleasure. I mean, it depends who it is, but sometimes, not very often, we may get a little bit of pleasure. That's me speaking personally. It's a yajna. In kirtan, in the temple, we quite often get pleasure. Is that right? It's pleasurable quite often. But when we go on Harinama Sangatan, it's always assured. We always get pleasure. Why? Which activity is pleasing to the Supreme Lord? They're all pleasing. But when we actually share it with everybody else, then we get real pleasure. Very enlivening. It's always difficult to do. But once we actually engage in that process, we think, why did I actually think twice about it? I remember once when, before I joined the movement, I went to Chaitanya College and went on the Bhakti course. And before I went on the Bhakti course, it was a weekend visit. And I'd never been to a temple before. I'd been advised by Rancho, actually, to go to the Chaitanya College. They have deities there. There's many devotees. And you can get more benefit. And so, I took prasadam. I saw the deities. And then they said, do you want to go on a Sankirtan? I said, what's Sankirtan? And they told me, I says, no, thank you. Forget it. And anyway, when I saw them coming back off Harinam Sankirtan, I said, when's the next Sankirtan? Their faces were effulgent like anything. And then I went on the next one and I got the experience of my life. You know, dancing and chanting, completely everything reversed. So this is the life of the movement. Sometimes, you know, we get into too much management, trying to work things out by our intellect. I've left it upstairs. But I got a paper, and Prabhupada, in many comments in that paper, is saying if the preaching is going strongly, he says the management will take care of itself. He said if the head is intelligent, then the hands will follow. And he says the preaching is like the head of this movement. The hands and legs are like the rest of the angas. So don't worry, it's not a fault to do a little bit of extra japa, do some chanting, do some book distribution. The other things will actually wait, and the other things will be performed much, much easier. Okay, so Has anybody got any questions or answers or comments?